So, welcome, Jibcast number 4, Viva 100 Monkeys. So that was the introductory music. We only had one entry, that was at David Farr. Good entry though, so a worthy winner. Shame we didn't have a bit of a competition, but yeah, cracking tune, I think that's the right vibe really. So 10 steams, I'll be with you directly. So yeah, today... I just wanted to kind of clarify kind of what this Jibcast is about, really. Obviously, it's going to be about agorism and sustainability, but kind of how I achieve it. Because a lot of people we do have talking out there, but as I said previously, this is not from UK perspective, and it's kind of, you know, it's often from people who are kind of already achieved it, and they're kind of living the way they want to. So yeah, I kind of want to come in on the angle of someone who's kind of like in the rat race, in the thick of it, in the state of society, and sort of getting out, and just sort of share my journey of how I do get out of it and how I achieved kind of, you know, the life we want to live, a free life. I mean, obviously a lot of that's kind of, in my opinion, like mental. You know, if you believe you're free, then you are free. And you know, a lot of people kind of look to kind of try and change things around them to kind of become free. It's like, I've got to do this to be free. But I think a lot of it's your state of mind and how you perceive everything around you. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'm trapped, I can't get out, then this is how you will be, because, you know, your brain kind of, well, your whole mind, I suppose, just kind of thinks of everything as being a trap. And, you know, I've been down that road. So, yeah, kind of, I think you need to, there's a great quote of the day, you need to think of your life as like a film, and you know, your everything around you is kind of, you're the main character, and everything around you is, you know, to fulfill your role, and it's like, you know, they're kind of extras, I suppose, in your movie. I thought that was great. It's kind of a poignant moment, really, isn't it, thinking about it like that. You know, each scene, you set each scene, and you kind of write the scene for the future. So this is kind of where I want to go with it, really. And obviously from a UK perspective, because, you know, as I spoke about before, you know, a lot of it's from a lot of the videos we have and people we have, which are great, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's not a lot from the UK perspective. So, yeah, you know, average Joe, okay, so, in the UK, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I followed the media, watched the telly, believed everything I was told, and, you know, I was a good reliant sheep in my field, which still am to an extent, you know. Yeah, you kind of, until you're actually completely living the free life, I guess you are a bit of a sheep, and you kind of, you're brainwashed by the media, and, yeah, I mean, the only way to get out of it is to cut it out. I mean, I flick through the headlines and see what's going on, but I haven't had a telly for a good 3 years now. Best thing I ever did, you know, I cut off social media, must be eight years ago now, maybe seven, no. And yeah, you know, I lost a lot of friends through doing that, but it was the best thing I ever did, you know, it kind of... Yeah, my mind's opens up so much, and I've got such a better perspective on life. I mean, yeah, people point this out. It's like, you know, how am I so happy, or how am I so relaxed about things, you know, when something happens? And to be honest, it's because I'm not forced to be stressed by the TV and the media pumping stuff into me, all this kind of, oh, well, as my stepbrother always used to say when the news came on, death, destruction, war. And that's all news is. There's hardly any positive news in news these days. You know, it's all about, you know, bad things that have happened. You know, you never hear about, you know, the good things out there and the thing good that people are doing for charities. I mean, there are other sites there. I mean, like in the UK, there's positive news. I can't remember the link, to be honest. Anyway, yeah, they're quite good. You know, they have... Oh, it's all positive news. I mean, it is. I'm sure some of you heard it. It's a bit corporate, but yeah, it's a good site. You know, I have some interesting stuff. And you know, while I'm on the subject, you know, there is the Daily Good, which I kind of occasionally look at. But to be honest, I try not to see what's going on too much. you know, because you just get bogged down with it. You know, like me, like Brexit, everyone's talking about Brexit, the dreaded B word. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's already set. They know what's going to happen, you know, so it's just get on with your life. I mean, either way, there's going to be a big recession, but everyone's kind of like thinking because of Brexit, we're going to have a recession. And this is what the media portray. So I kind of went off on a tangent there, but that's kind of where I'm coming from, the kind of person in the UK stuck in the... I just contradicted myself completely by saying I'm stuck in it. But you know what I mean. But these days, you know, I guess I'm described as a bit of a hippie, a bit out there by people who know me. But it shows them on the right track, I think. And you'll be amazed the amount of times that people kind of say, oh, why you do that? That's a bit weird. Oh, why'd you do that? But you get them on their own and they're quiet. They're like, oh, I'd really like to do that if I could, but I can't. There's no excuse. You say, why not? I said, oh, because of this, because of that, you know. And people need to break the mold. And in my work as an occupational therapist, you know, a lot of the time it's people kind of, there's something blocking me in the head to why they can't do something as an excuse. And once you've gone out there and kind of stepped over the hurdle, you love it. And you know, that's a lot of what my job is. But also I think in society it's a massive thing that, you know, we're told we can't do something, but when you actually do it, and it's like for example barefoot walking, which I absolutely love, you know, go around the woods, walk barefoot, and you know, you get the odd look sometimes, but it's so beneficial and you feel great and so relaxed. And like people are saying, well, what if I cut my foot? What if somebody looks at me? What if, you know, I tread in dog shit? Or, and you just look where you're going. You know, it's quite simple. But there's this kind of mental block that people have that, you know, stop them kind of breaking from the mould or breaking from the norm. So yeah, where would my journey start, really? It was about 18 years ago. Truly, properly. I mean, I've always kind of questioned authority, I suppose. But yeah, you know, I went to Africa, and that was a real mind opener, because you know, I realised that what we're actually told isn't necessarily the truth. You know, I mean, Africa does have its poverty, but some places don't. And you know, you go to the main cities, and it's just like any normal city. You know, you've got the big fast food restaurants, and you know, that was a real mind opener to me. And talking to the people, and it's, you just realise that what we're portrayed as this kind of poor country that, you know, no one can do anything, and it's completely wrong. It's completely wrong. But that's what the media portray it. But yeah, amazing place. I loved Africa. I'd love to go back. And then I kind of came back and got kind of whipped up into, well, I went to university and got whipped up in the kind of the corporate world, I suppose, you know, drinking and dancing and clubbing and, you know, all that jazz. And kind of all my ethics, I suppose, kind of got put aside, and I kind of went back into the corporate world, as it were. And then I think about 2006 or something, I watched the Palma Deception, which many of you have probably seen. And what was the other one? It was Outfoxed, I think it was called. And they're quite corporate, but you know, then that kind of, it kind of pulled me back into wanting to actually do something about it and change it. You know, I went down all sorts of rabbit holes, and you know, smoking a pot, and kind of, you know, the conspiracy theories, and you know. And obviously, since then, I've realised the changes within you. It's not kind of going out there and exposing all this thing, which is important to do, but until you made the change in yourself, you're not going to change anything out there. So the most important thing is to get yourself on the right track before you start trying to change the world. And then I went to India and kind of, you know, had the cliche epiphany moment, I suppose. Became a Reiki master and kind of learned a lot about myself, really, and a lot about the world. And yeah, so that was, yeah, no, actually I went to Australia after that, and then kind of worked on myself a bit, but kind of got a bit more corporate again, and then came back to UK. And yeah, so you know, it's up and down, it's up and down. And you know, after my previous Jibcast, the last few ones, you'll see I've kind of been down, and you know, I'm back into the right mindset again. But yeah, and it can go too fast. And I think, you know, it's like my previous Jibcast, you know, I went into it too fast, you know, wanted a whole sustainable bandwagon in one go, which, you know, obviously you can't achieve. And I think it wasn't realistic as well, you know, because I wasn't set in myself. I wasn't focused on where I was going in myself. It was like, I want to do this, but mentally I wasn't there. I'm still not, but you know, I need to focus on what's realistic. And you grade it up to the end goal. You can't just go in and boom, this is it, I want to do it all in one go. You know, you've got to make sure, you know, your life's set and you're in the right spot to do it in the right environment. And eventually I'll go on to my OT centre, and, you know, but that's the goal to work towards. So, yeah, I guess with all that, I kind of see myself as a communicator, which why I need to be in a kind of more busy setting, I suppose, in the country. You know, I need to communicate to people and share my message. I sound like a preacher. But, you know, share my ideas and, yeah, get some groups together. And, you know, this is what I'm ready to do. This is where I'm at now. And breaking out of rat race and hopefully bring a few people with me, you know, so this is why I'm moving into the town and kind of, you know, all that. So as I say, you know, I've kind of been a bit ill recently, nothing serious, you know, with my knee, and you know, and I do think that it's all related to, well, they say disease is dis-ease, isn't it? Your body's not at ease, your body's not settled, and it's unbalanced. That's where it comes down to. And I was feeling massive feeling of unbalancedness. Is that a word? Yeah. And, you know, I had a couple of shamanic healings and, you know, things like that, and it just wasn't settling. But what I was also listening to my gut. And like I said previously, I was listening to your ego, and it is important to listen to your ego to an extent, because that's what will get you to jump over the hurdle. You know, these hurdles you have in life. But you need to listen to your gut. The gut needs to direct the ego. The ego is there as like the go and do it, go and get it. But your ego needs to be controlled by the gut. Your instinct, you know, your instinct's what you need to do. And I've spoken about it a lot previously in my posts and Jibcast. And That gut feeling, you know, this is where all these things come from ancient times, when he knew about listening to our gut, the gut feeling, listen, trust your instinct. This is where all those sayings come from, you know, because we're just disconnected from this kind of way of thinking. And the way to change the world, I think, is to go inward and accept yourself. And it is true. I mean, one of my favourite sayings by Gandhi, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. I know it's a lot of variations, but that's basically what it is. And it is, you know, I used to kind of think it's like, you know, if this is why I kind of wanted a sustainable garden and everything, you know, all in one go, because I thought you've got to be it, you've got to show it to people. But it's about being inside your head, knowing what you want, and kind of being there and thinking the way you should be thinking, and living what's true to yourself and how you want to be. And too much of the time, you know, we change our surroundings because we think, oh, this is wrong, you know. But we need to look internally. It's something inside us that's wrong, not necessarily the environment. And sometimes it is the environment. We need to take ourselves away from it because we're not getting the stimulus we need, or, you know, there's people there or things there that just aren't working with us or for us, and we need to disassociate with that. But generally, most of the time, it is ourselves internally. And, you know, we know what we want. You know, our instincts will tell us. If we walk into a room, we sense a vibe or a person. And we've all done it. You know, you see a person, oh, don't like them. Or you meet somebody, you think, wow, they'll really connect to them. And that's your instinct telling you. And that's what we need to be listening to more, I think. And, you know, some people do, but, you know, a lot of people don't. And it's like you walk into a room. You can feel the energy. You know, you can. I like to associate things and sayings, but it's like, you know, you can cut the energy with a knife, and like you can tell when people have been arguing or something, and that's where that comes from. You know, we sense what's going on around us, and we need to tune into these senses more, because, you know, everything is connected. You know, it's all we're all atoms and vibrations, and they all connect. If you boil it down to a small level, we're all vibrating together in the same room and area, or whatever you want to call it. So if one's angry and stressed and, you know, not happy, then that's going to affect all the others slowly. It's like a ripple effect. And if you get a happy person, a smiley person who walks in with a big smile, yeah, you know, that's going to ripple through. You know, this is what I want to sort of try and achieve. So, yeah, kind of gone off topic a bit, but yeah, it's kind of the same thing, you know. It is all about what I want to communicate, I suppose. And now through all this, we go out there and we, you know, how we are, you know, deems that we attract. You know, if we're angry, we attract anger. We attract angry people. If we're happy, go lucky, we attract those sort of people. So yeah, that's kind of went a bit off on tangent, but it's about being empathetic as well, and not trying to enforce ideas on others or your ethos. You know, I mean, obviously, I want people to listen to my ethos and my ideas and try and embrace it. But if that doesn't resonate with them, then you know, you'd never force it, or I wouldn't. That's not the way I roll. Just purely advice, planting a seed. You know, don't get me wrong, I love a good debate, and if somebody's got like a differing opinion and, you know, they fancy a debate about it, I'm always up for that. You know, often you have to agree to disagree, but you know, that's what's life about. It's about challenging your concepts and what you think and your ethos, and, you know, and then you can strengthen it and take on parts of others. But yeah, the main thing, you know, I think is being empathetic to others, where that comes from. And, you know, on reflecting on that, you know, if everyone is more empathetic and kind of just, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I've probably, you know, seen myself as empathetic and, you know, don't want to enforce my views on other people. But kind of if we all sit there and keep stum, and, you know, all the empathetic people out there, and just get on with our life, you're going to get all the narcissistic psychopaths rise to the top and become the ones in power, which, you know, kind of where we're kind of in the mess we are now, because we've allowed that to happen. You know, it is about kind of waking up the empathetic people and, you know, the conscious people, and, well, we're all conscious, but the ones who are aware of their consciousness. You know, I'm not saying I want to be in power, and, you know, I'm the opposite, but it's not, you know, it's worth thinking about, really, you know. I wouldn't want anyone to be in power. You know, if we're all vibrating and conscious on the same level, we don't need to be in power. We don't need people to control us. You know, we will just coexist, you know, get on our own lives and interact with those you want to interact with. So, yeah, the world needs more empathetic people. I think in the transition period, you know, some will kind of end up leading in a sense. But, you know, that's not the role for me. I'm, you know, the communicator, I suppose. So, yeah, I've been thinking in recent reflections about my, you know, talking about the ego and the ability to question your ego, which I think is a very important thing. Because if you can question your ego, then your ego's not in control. You know, you're not egocentric, which is good. And, you know, I think I previously have talked a lot in the last couple of Jibcasts. In fact, I've let my ego control me and not listen to the gut. But in reality, you need a balance. And if you're questioning your ego, that means you have got a balance, because you're kind of aware of it and you're listening to your gut, and your ego's the driving force behind your gut. And that's what you need to get them to coexist and work like that. So this is kind of why I'm doing this Jibcast, really. So people can hear my journey and try and inspire them to make changes around them. You know, maybe not the same changes. Maybe I'll just click that little something in their psyche and, you know, give them the direction they want to go. And, yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from, really. It's all about being in tune with the universe. And, you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, the noise of society gets entwined in your decision-making. And, you know, this is difficult. And this is what holds a lot of people back and stops them awakening. And, you know, and indeed, you know, it has with me. You know, I've nearly made the step to become a lot more awake at times. But you do get pulled back by the noise of society and the constant gibbering around you. And you can't help in today's society being, like, partly brainwashed by what's going on out there. You know, because you can't just cut yourself out from it completely. We can, but then you kind of lose that social connection, which is what I was talking about previously. So it is all about balance, and it's about sort of how you let it affect you. So it's like, you know, it's like I was saying before, when I read the headlines of the article, just to see of the newspapers, just see what's going on, because you've got to have some awareness of what's going on. But when you're reading that, you think, this is, it's kind of designed to make me, because it is all depressing stuff, to be honest, and it's designed to do that. So when you're reading it, you think, oh, this is what it is, and you can't take it for a gospel, I suppose. So yeah, that's what I'll finish today, because I think I've rattled on a bit, and hopefully I communicated some good stuff to you, and this is where I want to go in the future. So that's a wrap for today then. Next time, eh?